Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 everyone. It is me, Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. Welcome. Audio has got some problems over here, so. But anyway, welcome, everybody. This is I, Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken, coming to you live from Southern California. We're live on Blog Talk Radio this evening. Today is the 25th of January, 3:51 p.m., and we're on day two, habit number two, studying to show yourself approved, getting into the scriptures of God. That's what we're going to be talking about. Yesterday, we talked about having or falling in love with God. That was habit number one. This is from our series, the series that we started yesterday, which is called, I want to get it right, but it's seven spiritual habits that will change your life forever. Seven spiritual habits that will change your life forever. And we're coming from a book by Adam Hodge, and we're kind of chopping it up and looking at how these spiritual habits in 7 days, how we can gain a spiritual direction, new spiritual direction, how we will love, how we will start to become better students and be studious of God's word, how we can learn self-discipline, how we can learn to worship Christ in spirit and in truth, following God and not your own heart, as well as a life of prayer. So in every one of these days, every 7 days, there's going to be a challenge for us to look at ourselves, to make appropriate changes as we apply these principles or these seven new habits, changing the old habits. Where you used to be unloving, you become a lover of Christ and become a lover of others who are in Christ. Where you used to be lazy and lethargic when it came to Bible study, or searching the scriptures, now you'll be a student of God's word and get in and dig in to the word of God and look to see how can you apply the word of God? How can you have Bible studies every day, you and the Lord spending time together? That's why I started the 30-30-30 challenge, and really that causes us to look at ourselves and say, okay, 30 minutes in prayer, 30 minutes in the word every day, those times, and for the next 30 days, and you then start all over again. But if you do this every day, you set a time, set at least a minimum of 1 hour of time away for God, and hopefully we can do more, but at least a minimum of 1 hour. That's a great start for you to start the new year and start being able to grow closer to God. Because if you just think that you can just kind of get up and do whatever you want to do and put God on the back burner, and then you want to pull him out the closet when your life is jacked up, you're going to have some problems. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Today, again, today's lesson is called Diligent Study of the Scriptures. Let us look at what God is calling us to do to be able to be proactive in our growth, spiritual growth for godly living. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, and we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to hear from you, to be challenged by you, and to grow from you. We want to know the scriptures. We want to know who you are. We want to know the power of your resurrection. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How will we know what you called us to do if we have a closed Bible and our mind is just flapping through the breeze? It's impossible. But Lord, through your scriptures, you teach us from Genesis to Revelation. You're teaching us life lessons of what not to do as well as what we are to do. And we walk in obedience, Lord, we can expect good things. When we walk in disobedience, we can expect chastening and your judgment upon us. Lord, but right now, we ask right now that we decrease, that you increase, that the Spirit of God would move mightily through each and every one of us, that we may know you, that we may have knowledge and wisdom and growth and learning through the scriptures. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Friends, you know, we have to really think about how we look at the scriptures and how important they are to us or living godly. You know, we'll pick up many different resources to grow in. You know, we'll look at all kinds of books, and we'll spend a lot of time in school looking at all of the philosophy books, all of the books of higher learning and all those things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we put God on the back burner, when we make the Bible optional, when we make the Bible the last result, when we want to cherry pick the Bible and try to use it to win an argument, or we try to use it to defend our sin or something that we like to do, then we're in trouble. So we have to know what it means for us to be students and studious when it comes to God's word. Now, everybody is not called to be a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist, or anything like that. But we are all called. Every one of us is called to go ye therefore and make disciples. And we should know the gospel. If you claim to be a born-again believer, you and I should know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we must know it, know how to defend it as well. The Bible says that we should always be ready to give an answer for the reason and hope that lies within us with meekness and respect. We should know when a cult comes along, when someone comes along that's not speaking what Christ spoke, we should know enough of the truth to be able to counter that. We don't have to know what they know. We just need to know that that's a lie that they just spoke. And we need to be able to tell them, no, that's not light, brother. That's darkness, and I'm not receiving that. So we don't have to argue with people. When we see that what Jesus said in the scriptures is sufficient, that's enough truth to be able to counter and smash all lies. Amen? So we want to know what it means for us to be a diligent study of the scriptures. We want to know what it means to have a diligent study of God's scriptures and the truth. Amen? Before we do that, I want to invite you to come out. If you're in the Los Angeles area and you're looking for a Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, I would like to invite you to come out to Core Church of Los Angeles on Thursday night, 7:30 p.m., www.corechurchla, come check us out, 7:30 p.m. on Thursdays. You can go to, it's at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034, right there off of Cadillac and La Cienega, across from opposite side of Kaiser, next to the Chevron station. Come out and visit us. Also, on Sundays, we have 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 worship time, as well as on Tuesday night for the ladies. Some of you sisters might be looking for a Bible teaching church and looking for a place to go where women can be encouraged. For the women, they have a women's fellowship on Tuesday night at 7:30. You can check all that out on the website and get the information. You can also listen to the live streams and to past messages and sermons. We're going through the book of 1 Samuel. On Sunday morning, and we're going through Matthew on Thursday night. We're going through the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. So take some time, come visit us, check us out, listen to us on the radio. Also, Pastor Steve Wilburn comes on KKLA 99.5. You can go on the website there, or you can listen and find him out. Find him on the website is there. All the advertising for that is in. So check them out. Also, with myself, you can follow me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me at Periscope at Minister Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me on Twitter at DKendrickSR65 and Gmail DKendrickSR, as well as on Blog Talk Radio by going to Minister Big Ken 65. Hey, a lot of stuff there. Also, want to ask if you being blessed by this ministry, if you've been blessed by the podcast, prayerfully consider donating any amount, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, through the GoFund account. I am applying for SSI because of heart disease. So, hey, if you feel led, if you think that I'm worth, that I'm someone that God is using, hey, prayerfully consider the a love offering of any amount. Nothing is too small. And it will be used for God's glory. Amen. So back to the lesson. What does it mean? Diligent study of the scriptures. Diligent study of the scriptures. Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us this. A highly spiritual believer understands their foundation They seek to be firmly planted in true and pure doctrine, knowing scripture and rightly applying it are two different things. It is the same as the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is stored information, and wisdom is the ability to accurately apply it. You have a lot of people that have knowledge about medical issues. They have knowledge about medical history. They have knowledge about how to do a surgery. But wisdom is applying that. You may have all of the knowledge, but until you use the wisdom that you use wisdom and application of that, it's not going to do you any good. It's just information stored up. Wisdom is the ability to apply it accurately. You might have the knowledge to be able to do a surgery, but to apply it accurately to do the right procedure that that operation calls for, and be particular and be very detailed about that, requires wisdom. It requires wisdom. It's a lot of people that have wisdom. It's a lot of people that have knowledge. But both of them going together, friends, they produce the right ability, or they produce the right formula for God, to bring glory to God. We're talking about knowledge and wisdom coming together to be able to rightly divide the word of God, to rightly divide the truth. But in order to become wise, first you need knowledge. Sometimes in a Christian walk, other things in life begin to distract us from needful study. Righteousness is obedience to the word of God. So then if you are seeking to grow in your walk, you must grow in knowledge. If you have been distracted by day-to-day activities and haven't been digging into the scriptures, then you need to make it a habit to read daily. Set aside some time to read and grow. Make it your habit to grow daily. If you're always seeking to grow, you will grow. You know, we live in a technological age. Everybody's got a quote-unquote smartphone. We got smartphones. We got smart watches. We got smart watches, you know, and we got little Bluetooth devices where we always got stuff in our ears and things like that. We got, you know, computers, you know, we got laptops and tablets, and we got all these different things. This is a technological age, and those things are okay. There's nothing wrong with having them. But they become a distraction when we're not using them for the glory of God. When they take up so much of our time and we're busily scrolling through the web looking for things that have nothing to do or nothing to build up the kingdom, then it's about us and not about the King of Kings. We have to be careful because, again, it goes without saying, but sometimes we, with a busy life, we tend to forget these rudimentary things. Therefore, we should make it our aim at pressing, effort to grow in the Lord daily. If God is infinite, then everything there is to know about him must be infinite as well. Seeing that we are not infinite, if we want to know the Lord more than we must, we should always be growing. When we say infinite, God is infinite. He is not lacking anything. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need wisdom. He is the essence of wisdom. God in his infinite wisdom, he knows all. He sees all. He's everywhere. Satan is not everywhere, but God is everywhere. God is 100% on top of everything and he knows what we were going to do before we did. Out of all the billions of people on this planet, God knows everything about them and what they're doing at any given time, any given second. God is on top of everything. He's 100% full knowledge of everything we think, every breath we take, and he knows every human being. See, that's the God I serve. I don't know about what people call God or who they call God, because they got a God that's limited. They got a God that can't do anything but give them what they want so they can be God. Well, that's the God of this world. Isn't he trying to make himself a God? And he wants you to believe that you can become a God. He tried to get Adam and Eve to believe that they would become gods. He found the woman over there without her covering, without her husband, and he tried to make her to usurp authority over her husband. Nothing has changed, friends. 6,000 years ago, man fell into the prey, fell into the trap of Satan, and we're still paying for it. We're still paying for it. The day a wise man has said in his heart, I am wise. We should always be growing. The day a wise man has said in his heart, I am wise, is the day he has assuredly become a fool, for he has ceased from pursuing wisdom. And you have a lot of people, if you talk to a lot of people, they don't even know what wisdom consists of. You don't even hear that in most people's circles because they don't know what wisdom means. They don't know what it means to pursue after wisdom. They think wisdom is how much education they got. Oh, I got a PhD in this. I got a doctorate in that. No. If you're not applying it, then it means nothing. If you're not applying it, there's no knowledge with it. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Wisdom is knowledge in applicable form. Just having a bunch of head knowledge with no application, no feet to the, put no feet to it, hands to it, then there's nothing really there to boast about. But when we can take what God has given us, and we can dissect it and rightly divide it and put it in its proper use, then we can say, thank you, Lord, for giving me wisdom, for giving me wisdom and knowledge, giving me understanding. But the man that says, I am not wise enough, is in an all-consuming fire. Though you give him wisdom, much like giving fuel to a fire, he will never be satisfied, nor will he say enough. Beloved, pursue wisdom and grow in the word. And if it grows quickly when it drinks the milk deeply, therefore, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. We are consuming creatures. We eat until we die. There are thousands upon thousands of food an individual goes through before they die. If then you are what you eat, let your mind eat of wisdom. Do not stop devouring it, even as you will not stop devouring food. Let the wisdom found in the mind of Christ be sustenance, and let his spirit be your water. Eat and drink deep of God, and so find strength for your weary soul. Too many people are eating at the devil's table. Too many people are out eating at the world's table. Too many people are feeding themselves off their own flesh, the fleshly desires, the carnal appetite, trying to fulfill this carnal appetite, which is insatiable. You're not going to ever be satisfied. You're not going to ever be satisfied trying to feed your flesh, trying to get the things of this world, trying to get those things that have no eternal value. He says, do not cease to read the word, nor cease growing in it. The more you read, the more you will know, and the more you know, the closer you will get to the Lord in a relationship. Oh, so many people are empty and void of understanding because they don't have a godly relationship with Jesus Christ. Or they have a fair weather. Hey, Lord, I see you. I see you. That's all they want. They just want just to be in his presence, just enough to be able to say, I know about him. But they don't really know him and the power of his resurrection. They have not really studied to be in, to know who he is, to know. Paul says, my only desire is to know him and the power of his resurrection. How can you know him if you have not been born again? You can't. This relationship with him. Why? Because you are diligently seeking to practice the things you read. As a faithful Christian, faithful Christians diligently seek to know him, to know his word, not just have a form of godliness, but to know his word. Notice what David said in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Hallelujah. It's important that we always look at others who understood this relationship with God's word, understood what it meant to follow him. understood how vital the word of God was. Notice what David says. He says here, verse 11 of Psalm 119, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Every one of these, when you hear the word statutes, ordinances, decrees, when you hear these words represent the word of God. They represent the holy writ. They represent God's precepts and commandments. Don't make it like, oh, that was the law. No, he's talking about his word. His word is to be obeyed. His word is to be honored and reverenced. You reverence the word, you reverence the God who wrote it. Because the word of God is active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that the word of God, no, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's active. It's alive. It cuts. It cuts you because it gets in your business. It gets in deep into your soul. Notice what he says here. Blessed art thou, O Lord, that teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all the riches. David said, hey, all the riches of Israel or of the world cannot give me the fulfillment that your word gives me. He says, I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies and as much as in all the riches. Too many people are looking for riches and not enough of the word. Not trying to get full on the word, not trying to get rich in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Notice what else he tells us here. He says, in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The law represents the word. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Whole heart. Commitment. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep our precepts diligently. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned of thy righteousness, thy righteous judgment, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to keep your ways pure? Stay in the word. It keeps us away from those things that are not of God. See, when you understand that the God who wrote this book wrote it so it would be what? It would keep us away from trouble. It would keep us away from sin. It would keep us away from the things that can cause us to be tripped up or to be taken captive. The devil doesn't care that if you disobey God. He institutes it. He wants you to go out there and get into sin. He wants us to go out there and live any way we want to with no accountability. But God says, Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light to thy path. Thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not do what? Sin against God. Unfortunately, friends, people don't take that. They want to claim all the promises, but they don't want to take any of the instructions for righteousness and obedience. He says that you, going back to our lesson, he says, now as you read the word, certain things will pop out at you from the pages. These are things that God wants you to be learning and meditating on. Take the time to study those things that you may fully understand them. Do not just assume the meaning of the scripture, but always be objective in your study. You may find out that the scriptures may be saying something different from what you believe for years. Years. It's amazing because I was having a discussion with several people recently about the fact how, you know, people will take scripture out of context and make it into scripture. Prime example is there's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 18:21. It says, the word of God, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So are those that eat of it. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we hear that, and we think that we can speak death to somebody or speak life to somebody. That's like me going to a funeral home and saying, get up out your casket and it's going to happen. I've never seen anybody do it. I have no medical records or nobody has ever given a testimony of that happening. So, therefore, you can't speak life. If a baby dies or something, as much as you would like to pray over that child and pray that God would bring him back, chances are he's not. Because life and death is in his hands, not in our tongue. Notice that your tongue does not have the ability to kill anybody. But on the other side of that, people love to say, well, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Well, there are Christians being martyred right now. They're being killed all over the world, not in America. Well, we need some martyrs out here. We need some people that's willing to die for the cross. But there are Christians now being killed for their faith. Well, if we're going to use that principle that life and death is in the power of the tongue, when they testify that they love Jesus and people kill them, can we not hold on to the same principle that the word of God, when they testified and gave a testimony that they were crucified with Christ, that they were soldiers for Christ, are they not saying that, hey, I guess life and death is in the power of the tongue? Because they won't deny Jesus, they have been beheaded or killed. Scenario, what was it, 2 years, not even 2 years ago, I think early part of January last year, Coptic Christians over in Syria, one of those countries over there, Iraq, Iran, and they were killed for what? Because they would not deny Jesus Christ as their Lord. But I hear so many people out here trying to say, well, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Okay, I'm going to agree with you on that. If I stand on Christ's word and say I denounce this world or I denounce Allah or I will not submit on my, I will not denounce Jesus Christ, then, yeah, I can die. I can die for his name's sake. That's okay, too. But the scripture really is talking about life and death. It means that you can tear down somebody's countenance. You can tear down their character. You can basically cause someone to go to prison or go to jail because you lied on them. So life and death is in the power of your tongue. You can cause somebody to be maybe you testified against them and you test a lie. You were on the jury. You was someone that gave a witness to this, and you said, "Hey, that person is a they were over here and they did this, and I saw them go by." And yeah, we got a bunch of witnesses. If you get enough people to testify against somebody, life and death is the power because they have the power, or they've been given this authority by the courts to now stand in behalf of you, and they're going to try you, and they're going to say, you did A, B, and C, and that person, that person's life is now in the hands of 12 jurors. So they can end up being put on death row or going to the gas chamber or spending the rest of their life in prison by a false statement. Or maybe it's a true statement. Maybe you did do that, and they gave a testimony of it. So this is how people will manipulate the word of God and make it into some way that we can it means this, and it really doesn't. And you have to be careful. No, you have to look at the context of everything that you say, because if you just say, oh, no, I'm just going to snatch that up and I'm just going to make that scripture after all these years of Bible study, you got 5 minutes of Bible knowledge, and all of a sudden you want to tell scholars now what it means because somebody told you what it meant, and instead of studying, instead of being someone that gets in and digs in the scriptures and getting some commentaries, getting some books and looking at the language and the words and what they mean in that particular context, you automatically start to make the Bible into something that makes you feel good versus something that God wrote for us to rightly to take and use for be rightly divided, because the word of God is to be rightly divided. Again, I'm going to read this, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, you notice you can't just use the top portion, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and stop there, because it continues on. And it says, and they, who is the they? and they that love it. Who are those they that love what? Love death and life? Shall eat the fruit of it. Well, all of us should love life. How many of us love death? So it's got to be more to it than how we're taking this scripture and trying to manipulate it and make it into something that totally is opposite of what we're throwing out there to people. Because we just say death and life is in the power of the tongue, and that's when we stop. That is total exegete. That's not eisegete. That's exegeting the scripture. You're basically saying, I'm going to manipulate the text because I want it to mean what makes me feel good. So I'm going to claim this and blab that and grab that. Sorry, friends, it doesn't work like that. We have to be careful about how we read scripture. And I'll give you another example of how these synonyms and this anonym or allegories are being used in the Bible. You can't use that scripture in that context. No more than you can use it. If you back up here, notice what he says here in Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord, strong tower. Now, is Jesus' name a tower? Does anything say Jesus Christ is a tower when I look at that word? Jesus, it says the name of the Lord is a tower, a strong tower. Is there anything that says literally, if I take that literally, is the name of the Lord really a strong tower? Can I walk in his name? Is there rooms in his name? Is the name of Jesus literally something that I see on a building that says, hey, welcome to Strong Tower? And that's Jesus. He a big old tower. No, I can't use it like that. I can't use the word any way I want to. Then he says the righteous run into it and is saved. Do you run into his name? When the last time you seen somebody, there was a big old name that said Jesus down there, or it just said the name of the Lord, and people were running into it on the I-10 freeway or down on Wilshire Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard. No, he doesn't mean that. You can't take that literally. No more than you can take Proverbs, verse 21 literally. Say, give you another example. It says, notice what he says. The heart of the prudent gets knowledge. Now, if you literally take that, you take that literally, that means that heart, that fleshly material inside, notice what it says, the heart of the prudent gets knowledge. If you took a heart and you was holding it in your hand, can you put knowledge in that? Is it prudent? No. Because the heart, whenever the Bible is talking about the heart, it's talking about the soul. The heart, that mushy part, that pump, that goes with our anatomy to keep us living and breathing, but it doesn't make us saved. It doesn't save our soul. It keeps us alive, keeps blood flowing through us, but Christ living on the inside of us changes our soul, changes the nature of who we are. So we have to be very careful. That's why he says, therefore, make knowledge of the truth your priority. Just because you think something is the truth doesn't mean it is true. Rather, let God tell you the meaning behind the scriptures. He will interpret them to you through the Holy Spirit. As we read these things, we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:13. It's important to look at not just one passage of scripture, but look at multiple passages. That's why it's good and healthy to get Bible tools. Go on the internet. Look at the free commentaries. Look at sites like Gateway Bible. Many different free helps you can get there. You can use the commentaries. You can use the dictionaries. You can use all of the different Greek and lexicons and things like that to help you dig into those words so you can understand what it means, because scripture interprets scripture. We can't just use one scripture. Here's another one. I know I'm going kind of on a rabbit trail, but I want us to understand, since we're talking about how to rightly divide the truth, we want to make sure that we understand when God is speaking using language or synonyms, and he's trying to use, he's using examples to bring to bear understanding so we can understand it in our time and in our language. Just like the Bible says, I am the vine. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Now, is he literally a vine? No. no more than he's a strong tower. He's not literal. He's not a literal tower. He's Lord, but he's not a literal. He's speaking in language that we can relate to. Notice again, in John 15, he told us right here. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Who is he talking to, and what is he talking about? Because we're not, are we branches literally? Are we some real branches? Or is he speaking in allegorical language that he's relating to us as a vine tree attached to him, a tree that he planted, using language that we can understand? So we have to take the word of God. We have to take it literal, but we have to use the interpretation methods that allows us to understand what the author is saying, what he means by using these allegorical, because he's talking from agricultural time and period. There was a lot of farmland going around during that time. They didn't have cities like we have now. There was no automobiles. So he couldn't speak of the language in the language that we could relate to now, because those in those times, they didn't have what we have now. We're 6,000 years advanced. We have computers now where they didn't have those back then. But he's speaking in the language to be able to relate to us what he's trying to say to us as a group of Christians. And we have to sometimes go back and look at the language of that day and rightly interpret what he meant by when he said he was the vine. That means, well, every time I see a grapevine, I'm going, oh, that's Jesus right there. Or when he says, I'm the bread of life, does that mean he's a loaf of bread? When he says, I am the living water, does that mean every time you drink a cup of water, I'm drinking Jesus? No. We can't just make up stuff because it seems good. Seeing that God will speak the scriptures to you is good to learn to be quiet within yourself. Learn to listen inwardly to the Holy Spirit in a daily walk. Listen carefully as you read the word. If there is anything that is speaking to you, it's not that the scriptures are speaking to you, but it's the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And whatever speaks out to you, meditate on that. Grow in it and memorize it. If you struggle with memorizing the scriptures, he said there's another book for how to memorize the entire Bible in no time flat. It does not contain the same old tips and tricks most used for memorization. Rather, it discusses how the Holy Spirit can help you retain any and every scripture he speaks to you. Basically, if you hear something speaking to you, start there. For memorizing, do not try to memorize the good verses or the typical ones that everybody else suggests. Memorize what God is speaking to you and now and today. Those are lessons he wants you to learn to. So be a good student and memorize them, just like we did with the topics at school. At school, we memorized what the teacher gave us, not what we thought was good, or we wouldn't get a grade. Likewise, God, being our teacher, knows what is best, and he will guide you through the scriptures according to your individual needs for growth. Following along with him, and therefore, and before you know it, you will have memorized a large portion of the entire Bible. He is always teaching us lessons in our walk. What he teaches us needs to be our main priority, not what the pastor teaches, but what God teaches through him. For it is the pastor who is used by God to plant and water what is God who teaches us and grows us. Notice the language here again, plant and water. If you say, hey, I want God to just plant me. Well, he planted me in solid ground, in good ground, good soil. Well, he plants us in good, healthy churches, not perfect churches, but he plants us in churches where we can grow, and he waters us. He waters us using the shepherd that is at that fellowship. He waters us using other believers to pour into us, that they'll continue to help us grow and mature, be godly citizens, effective for the master. But God who gives the increase, it's God that gives the increase. Notice again, he says this, as it is written, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but it is God who gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:7. God will be the one who increases us in wisdom as he teaches us lessons from growth through life, seeing that it is his will for you to retain the current lesson. He will assist you with retaining his wisdom if you lean on him in faith. As it is written, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed back and forth by every wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James 1, 5 through 8. God wants us to know the entire word, but he likes it when his students pay attention. If we blow off his lesson and try to meditate on something irrelevant to the teaching he is giving us, we are not having upright hearts. Yes, the lessons of the word of God all work hand in hand, but God guides us through the textbook. When we read textbooks in school, we follow along with the teacher rather than jumping ahead. Likewise, we must follow along with the Lord as he teaches us from the word. Yet some have a habit of trying to memorize everything, whether it pertains to their immediate situation in life or not. But if you follow along with God and memorize what he gives you to memorize, then he will be your strength to retain it. In the end, you will be able to memorize a great amount by the power of his spirit through faith. And doesn't faith come by hearing his word? Whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you is what you need to be growing in, even as it is written. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. If then faith comes by hearing, then listen to the Holy Spirit. We couldn't even come to Christ unless we heard God tugging at our hearts. As it is written also, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:44. That's another thing. People think that they're going to come to God on their term. Well, I'm going to go ahead and live like a heathen for the next 20 years, and right before I die, right on my deathbed, I'm going to ask God to save me. No, that's foolishness right there. Because God might close your mouth. And even if you could open your mouth, doesn't mean you're going to call on him. But that we should, John 6:44, but that we should be listening to the Holy Spirit and be taught by him is evident. For it goes on to say, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, John 6:45. Beloved, come to the Lord and sit at his feet as you read. Learn to listen to his teachings as he interprets the word for you. He will give you what you need, for he knows all that you need. Now, I'm going to say this, too. I agree with what the author is saying here, but I also agree that we must still get into the word. We must look at scripture to interpret scripture. Don't just follow one passage. Look at all the topics that pertain to that and every scripture that surrounds that, because there are many scriptures all over the Bible that brings you right back to that scripture. And scripture confirms and interprets scripture. We don't want to just have one passage of scripture and say, well, sometimes it's very seldom in the Bible you're going to find just one passage where God has talked about it one time and one time only. But if he has, then that's all he had to say about that particular passage of scripture. And that's okay, because he made it one time to think of it. He said this one time, and that's all needed to be said. Another thing we need to understand is I saw somebody put on a page, it was a question today, about do you think God has changed his mind on fornication? And the answer is no. Has he changed his mind on adultery? Has he changed his mind on homosexuality? Has he changed his mind on bestiality? Has he changed his mind on lying? Has he changed his mind on stealing? God has not changed his mind against sin. And all those who practice these things, he who practices sin, he who swims in the sin, he who meditates in sin, he who lives in sin, he who justifies sin, he who condones sin, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. and is of the devil. 1 John chapter 3. He who practices sin is of the devil. I don't believe me? Let's go here. Right here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Then I'm going to take you to Revelation just so we'll understand that in the last day, in case you think you can get away with anything, see, I love the fact, and this goes back to people that don't read their Bibles and don't really want to, they read everything, but when it comes to the book of Revelation, they run like I don't know what, because they don't think the book of Revelation, they don't want to talk about that. You know why? Because conviction is there, because it deals with your sin. If you love sin and hate the light, you don't want to be there. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall be him. We shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth all the law, also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now, this doesn't mean that we won't ever sin. But it means if you're abiding in Christ, you're not living habitual sin. John 15, if you're abiding in Christ, you're not abiding in the world. Notice that. You have to understand the language again. He said, if you abide in me, my word will abide in you. That means the word is going to keep you and me from doing the things that we used to do as a habit of life, as a way of life, as a lifestyle. So many people think that they can do whatever they want to do. And they said, well, I've been saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you really were, you wouldn't be having that liberal attitude. He says, whosoever, verse 6, abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither known him. This is the person who practices in the lifestyle. People who continually shake their fists at God's holiness and righteousness and say, I don't care. I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. And I said a prayer, I walked the aisle, I made a commitment, and I'm okay, and God's okay with me. Notice what he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. God does not look at our sin like he used to, because believers are not ones who are living to commit sin. We don't walk around looking for more ways to sin. Do we struggle? Yes. Do we fall short every day? Yes. But that attitude of liberal, I can just live any way I want to. I can hang out, sleep with my girlfriend, my boyfriend, commit adultery, cuss folks out, lie, steal, kill, cheat, and all the things that I want to do. Those things are not of the child of God. God is distinct. John says clearly in 1 John chapter 3, he's distinguishing between those who are children of the devil and children of God. Those who abide in the word of God, abide in Christ, and those that abide in the flesh and in this world and are children of the devil. Notice this, what he says in verse 10. In this, the children of God are what? Manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteous or doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is another thing. You got so much hatred going on in our country right now. Folks talking about they Christians, but they hating on other people. And God told us to love our enemies and pray for those. But we so busy doing the opposite. Professing Christians, they profess with their mouth, but there is no light in their word. There's no light in their walk. There's darkness that's coming out there. See, if I cuss you out and I tell you that that's okay, that God knows my heart, I just basically call God a liar. And I just told you that what I'm doing is okay with God. And I basically said that God's standard is not what he says in his word if I do that. But his word is life. His word is power. His word does not come back void. It doesn't come back void. The Bible says he will give you what you need, for he knows all that you need. If you are having a hard time remembering and applying scriptures, he will not leave you. The Holy Spirit will not leave you without help. Beloved, do you not remember the Holy Spirit is your helper sent from God. He shall strengthen you and give you what you need to retain the word and apply it on a daily basis. We don't have to walk around ignorant of God's word, even if you've never really been to any kind of classes or had any kind of formal training how to study the Bible. But God, if you really sincerely are praying and seeking God and asking God to give you interpretation, let the Holy Spirit reveal to you the truth, he will do that. A lot of people don't want to know the truth. You know why? Because they're not free. And the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is truly free indeed. If you're a true child of God, the word of God is going to set you free from sin, from the bondage of sin first. And when he sets you free, then the word of God can give you revelation and understanding and give you wisdom. Give you wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. If I want to interpret the word of God straightforward and understand it, I need to make sure that I have surrendered my will to God and allowed the Holy Spirit to have every part of me so that I can know him. I want to have that explosive power with God. I want to have that dunamis. And he says, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. It is the power of his resurrection. I want to know that power. And I'm telling you, here's a test for all of us this week. Let's seek God with some sincerity. Let's seek him and ask him to open our eyes and give us a taste of his power. Let's ask him to give us a taste of his power, that we will have such clarity in the word of God. Maybe you're studying a particular passage. I see my brother Carr here. Maybe you're studying something for your Sunday lesson. Ask God to give you such an interpretation of the scripture that has so much power in it. You know that God filled you up and gave you wisdom and understanding. It says, only have faith in all things, and all things will be possible for you through Jesus Christ. Believe that God will help you, and say in your heart, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Believe it. God will do it. I've seen this in my own personal walk, helping me retain scripture. And I remember one time I was doing a podcast. This was maybe about 3.5 years ago. And I remember I got off the radio and I was just in such awe in where I was standing. My house just felt like I was in the presence, in the Shekinah glory of God. I got off and I was so overwhelmed by the power of God, the Spirit of God, because after I got off the radio, it was like the Lord had just washed me in his presence, and it was such an anointing on top of me. I'm nobody. I'm a zero, but Christ can take zeros, and he can make them a hero in him, and it was one of those aha moments where you have that experience with God, and you're just like, oh, man. If you want to be, you don't never want to leave that. I can't speak for y'all, but that was my aha moment that I just felt. And I had been through some stuff. I had been through some trials and tribulations. I had been through some stuff. But it just gave me such a moment of peace and overwhelming in his presence. And it was like everything that I said just came directly from his heart. And that's where you know that you are in God's will. You're in God's will. We need to make sure that we lean on God totally. And it's in faith. Suddenly, we start memorizing entire books in single settings. it would usually take a day, but it can happen at any moment. But you can just, I knew a guy that, you know, him and his wife, that's all they did. They made it a point. They would memorize whole books of the Bible. They were reading, they were memorizing, quoting whole chapters. This is what they did. That was their ministry. They would basically teach people how to memorize the Bible. And they would memorize scripture. That was part of who they were. That was, every day they was constantly, that's all they did was listen to scripture and memorize it. They had different versions. They could say it in King James. They could speak it in New American Standard. Different versions of the Bible is how they read it. And they were able to do that. That was how they've been doing it for 20-some years. That's a gift right there. That's a gift. What are we trying to do as we learn this new habit, my brothers and sisters? What are we trying to get from God? Well, one, we want to get this. We want to be able to be studious. We want to be studious of God's word. We don't want to just be going around quoting scripture, saying scripture, and we can't interpret scripture. We want to be the type of people that when we say something, we can back it up and we can use other scriptures to testify to that one particular passage. And we can be able to take people on through the Bible, through a trek through the Bible, and be able to look at certain scriptures and back up all the scriptures. Because there's a lot of people who will take scripture and step on it with another scripture. They're not basically rightly dividing. They're basically just using scripture to try to justify or interpret their own interpretation. And that's a very dangerous thing. We want to make sure that we know how to bring the scripture, scripture interpret scripture. So we have to make sure that we're not mishandling the word of God. We're not mishandling the word of God. That's why he tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a laborer that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But from those who seem to be something, Paul said, whatsoever they work, it makes no difference to me. God shows no favoritism to no man, Galatians 2:6. God will do likewise with you because he favors no one. He will bless you according to your faith, even as Jesus said to the blind man in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. According to your faith, let it be to you. Yet this concept of seeking God for wisdom is not new. It goes back to the beginning of time and has much to do with the fall of man. During the first sin, Eve was tempted by the fruit from the tree of knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil. She desired the wisdom it gave, as it is written. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasing to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit. She took of its fruit and ate. Genesis 3:6. Is the pursuit wisdom wrong? It can be, depending on where we are looking to get that wisdom from. God is the source of all wisdom and made everything that we call wisdom. Therefore, beloved, seek him directly for it. He made it all after all. Won't he know it best? If you seek him, he will speak it to you. Eve made the mistake of not seeking God for wisdom, but was tempted by the thought of reaching out and taking wisdom for herself. That's how most people do nowadays. They're trying to reach for something other than what God has for them. Trying to reach for the things that the devil has laid out on the table. He's giving out stuff too. He's giving out the cares of this world, the riches of deceitfulness. He gives out the things that will entangle you and trap you. That's why so many false teachers are in big business now. Why? Because they sell you the American dream and they sell you the lie of Satan at the same time. They basically have found a way to make money for themselves by telling you God wants you to be rich. And if you give to them or give to God through them, because they're the caretakers for God's money, if you give to them, then God is going to bless you with abundance and riches and a big house, a big car, and a fancy clothes. And you're going to have all these fancy things. And the more you work, the more you're going to get your stuff. The more you give to them, the more God's going to give back to you. And it's just a cycle of constant covetous and greed, because you're telling people that God wants you to be covetous and greedy. You just won't say that, because that would be sin to say it, but you're saying it by your preaching. Preach a gospel gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. You preach a gospel that says, as long as you give, God's going to make sure you get. And you got folks been giving for 20 years, and guess what? They ain't getting nothing in return for it. Because God can't be bought. God can't be bought. Now think about it. How do you support this? How do you support? How do you suppose this world would have been different if Eve would have asked God for it rather than taking it of herself? God, will you grant me wisdom? Do you think he would tell her no? But what did he say to Solomon? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Notice this. God said that Solomon would have a standard that nobody else would measure up to. But what do the false teachers tell you today? They tell you that God wants you to be a billionaire, a trillionaire. He said, we're going to have tell you, if you have billionaire faith and millionaire faith, you will have what you want. All you got to do is see it and claim it. Claim it and proclaim it. You speak it, you can receive it. Really? If it works for the, if it really works, why aren't they doing it? Nobody should have to give them anything. If it really works, God should be the one providing and showering them down. They should be getting checks from anonymous donors if they really believe that. I guarantee you, not one false teacher would ever tell his church, don't give me anything because God's going to provide. I'm standing on the word of God for 30 days that God will provide all my needs, and you guys don't have to give me nothing. They're not going to do that. Uh-uh. And if you don't get your money, you're going to get whipped with Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? And when you look at who they're giving their money to, false teachers give their money to other false teachers. They sow money into other false churches. And that's how it goes. It's no more than a pyramid scheme. They build these churches up by helping other churches be deceptive. Satan's children always are very carnal. They're not carnal. They run in the same atmosphere, and they run with the same demonic spirits. Their job is to kill, steal, and destroy. We have to be careful. 2 Chronicles 1:11, 1:11-12. It's obvious that little can please God more than praying wholeheartedly for wisdom. And see, if we have wisdom in the church, we won't be giving our money away to wolves and sheep clothing. We won't be bamboozled by those who try to hold the shepherd's crook and beat the sheep when you don't give. You should never, ever give your money to a false teacher who's trying to run God's church. Just because he's behind the pulpit does not make him a follower of Jesus Christ. Does not make him a follower of Jesus Christ. Wholeheartedly for wisdom and understanding. It is absolutely in the will of God for him to give you wisdom, and we outline, as we outline in James 1 through 5, before he says, beloved, seek it by faith, persist in the word, so that you'll become a spiritual creature. God will shower you with heavenly riches that can neither corrode nor fade, nor any thief break in and steal blessings reserved in heaven for you. Be like Solomon and seek God for wisdom and understanding. Pursue him in the word and meditate on what he is speaking to you. He adores a good listener because faith comes by hearing, and hearing and righteousness comes by practicing faith. The spiritual person seeks to grow in the word daily. Be hungry like a little sponge that can never be satisfied. Absorb the pure milk of the word and seek God for more. He will grant it to you because wisdom gives life. As it is written, wisdom gives life to those who have it, Ecclesiastes 7:12. God loves you and will give you everything you need to have to live a life and grow in him. As a mother is with her nursing child, so God cannot forget you. He will lead you and guide you tenderly. He will nourish you with the pure milk of his word. Therefore, beloved, drink deep of the wisdom of God and grow thereby. If you do this, you shall become fully pleasing to the Lord. Fully pleasing to the Lord. Again, friends, the word of God is to be applied. Wisdom is knowledge applied. We study because we want to know God and know how to apply the word for how to be good husbands to our wives. How are you going to be a good husband if you don't know what a husband is defined by Scripture? How are we going to, our wives going to be good wives without knowing what it takes to be a good wife, a biblical wife, a godly wife? If you never read Proverbs 31 and study it to see what the virtuous woman did, how her lifestyle is, and how we can apply that, and how you can apply that as a woman of God in your day and time, how you can be wise, how you can use these virtues and these standards to be that woman that God can use. How you expect to grow? Every one of us need to take something, some particular application from God's word and start applying it, start studying it, and work on that particular thing and draw out of it what God is trying to speak to us. Whatever it is that you want to grow in, pick a subject, a topic, and spend some time digging into the word of God so that you can be all that you can be for God's plan, and you can be able to not only learn it, own it, but then apply it to your life and then be able to share that with others who are lacking. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a heart that's tender, Lord, that's ready to learn. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the attitude that we can be transformed, Lord, as we seek you first, the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Through your word, Lord. We can't seek you with a closed Bible. We can't seek you with a closed mind. We can't seek you by just brushing through the scriptures. We have to seek you by rightly dividing the word of God, by interpreting scripture with scripture, by letting the word of God dwell in us richly and through the Holy Spirit. We don't want to have intellectual knowledge. We want to have Holy Spirit knowledge and wisdom, Lord, that it can change and eradicate our lives and make us more like you. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this lesson, Lord, for teaching us how to apply a new habit to our life today. As we learned yesterday, how to fall in love with you, how to be a lover of Christ and to love others, today we learn how to know you through knowing your scripture, by rightly interpreting the scripture, by rightly dividing the truth. And we ask, Lord God, that you would continue to feed us, that we would continue to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. And in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. We pray, Lord God, that we are filled with you. The Spirit of God is moving and guiding us. We love you. We praise you and bless you. We pray that this message was a sweet smelling aroma in your nostrils this evening. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Tomorrow, habit number 3 in our 7-part series of changing our habits. Habit number 3, self-discipline. Self-discipline. Paul talked about him disciplining his own body and bringing it into subjection. Many of us need to have self-control. Many of us need to have a self-discipline. We need to crucify ourselves. We need to die to the flesh, so that we can be what God wants us to be. So tomorrow we'll be talking about self-discipline and how important it is for us as a believer to be disciplined in Christ Jesus. Hey, again, you can follow me on Facebook. For those that's Facebook Live, Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me on Blog Talk Radio, on the podcast. Please tell your friends, share this with your friends. Let them know that they can listen in on the podcast. Also, You can hit us up at Twitter at dkendricksr65 and Gmail, dkendricksr@gmail.com. Hey, I'm Minister Gerald Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 5:01 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I pray that this message has encouraged you and blessed you. Make sure you get back and listen to it if you just now kept tuning in, and share this with as many people as you can as we go through these seven new habits in seven days. All of us need to grow. All of us need to apply it. Yours truly, I'm not above learning or growing. I have to do it. We all need to do it. And everyone out here needs to grab hold to what God is trying to build us up in these last days. He wants us to be part of his family. Ambassadors for Christ need to grow in Christ and the word of God, amen, on a daily basis. So let us apply these truths as they come our way, and let us meditate on it. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to fill our minds with his wisdom and understanding so that we can be the best we can be for the kingdom. All right? Hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, God bless you and keep you is my prayer.